welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
All right, you are listening to the Preach the Word podcast. Welcome to another edition. Today I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 25. And I'm also going to go on down to verse number 32, which is our key verse, and you can read those verses on your own. But of course, Ephesians 4:32, this is a verse that a lot of you listening probably have memorized, but the verse is, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, this topic of kindness, I want to talk about something that you've probably heard before. And I heard this a lot when I was little, and this is something that I heard from different people, and it's not good advice, but it's not picking on those people who said it per se, but it's just the culture. You hear a lot of people say it, and they heard somebody else say it, and maybe it didn't come from a bad place, but I want to talk about the saying of just kill them with kindness. Just kill them with kindness. And what that is it's being nice to somebody who's mean to you, pretty much is the way I took it. And I think that's the whole intent of that saying, is if somebody's mean to you, you just kill them with kindness. And what that means is the best way to get back at someone is by being nice to them. Well, actually, what that is that's nothing more than passive aggressiveness. You're upset because somebody's being mean to you, so a way to get back at that person, a way to handle that, is by being nice and being kind. Well, true kindness is like the word forgiveness. There's no strings attached to kindness. If a person does something to you and they apologize for it, if you truly forgive that person, there are no strings attached. There is no, well, just don't do it again, or I'm only forgiving you because I'm supposed to, or for my child's sake, or whatever. You know, that's not forgiveness. True forgiveness, there's no strings attached. The same way with kindness. There's no strings attached with kindness. If you're doing something because you're supposed to, you're being nice because you're in a public place, or you hold a position, or you're in the branch of the military, or maybe you have a important role, or maybe there's just a job title, whatever it is. And being in that important job or being at an important place requires you to have a certain public image, and you're supposed to be nice, and you're supposed to treat others in a way of kindness for a good reputation. That's not real kindness. Real kindness is there's no strings attached. And the title of the sermon this week, the podcast, is keep them with kindness. Not kill them with kindness, but keep them with kindness. You can't kill a person by being kind to them. You can't do it. That's not real kindness. That's called being a passive aggressive hypocrite. That's what that is. You can't hurt a person by being nice to them. And if you do, if that's your intent, that's not real kindness. Okay, if you're kind to somebody and it hurts them, that's on them. But that's not no way, shape, or form your intent. So looking here at Ephesians chapter number 4, to really grasp this thing of kindness, to really get the total part of it, let's look at the entire context here. So the church of Ephesus, this was written by Paul from Rome to the church of Ephesus, and this is one of four prison epistles. You have Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and Ephesians. And each of these prison epistles, all of them, they present Christ. They present life, and they present the church as an interrelationship. And how can we, all of those things, Christ, life, the church, how can we all function together? And in Ephesians, we see Christ at the center of the church. So the church is in no way, shape, or form a temple that is made by man. The church is the body of Christ. It's God's masterpiece. And some key words when you read the book of Ephesians that you're going to see a lot, you're going to see the word body. That's referring to the body of Christ. There's a mystery that is revealed, that the body of Christ, that is every believer. Every saved, born-again believer, that's an individual who trusts in Christ as their Savior. They are a new creature in Jesus Christ, and they are the body of Christ. It's not just for Jews, but it's also for Gentiles. So the body of Christ is not only on earth, it's also in heaven. So you have those people who are saved, who have died and went on to heaven. They are still a member of the body of Christ. And those of us who are saved here on earth, we're a member of the body of Christ. And the word grace, of course, is mentioned 12 times. And then there's this word walk. Okay, that's a key. That's something you really got to think about when you're going through Ephesians. So the key focus is the church. And this was written around AD 62 or so. This is during Paul's, it's when he's writing the prison epistles. And the whole point of this book is to help the believers and strengthen them with the daily walk, with our most importantly, with our faith, and as well as walking in a way that's worthy of our position in Christ. And so I want to reference Dr. J. William Kanoy. He gave this outline. He said that the first three chapters is our riches, which deals with doctrine. And the last three chapters is our responsibility, which deals with our duty. Now, this all comes back to kindness, okay? So in chapter 4, the key word is walk. How should we walk? What is our worthy walk? This is what Dr. Kanoy would call the jewel room, because we're led to jewels in the church. Love, humility, unity, grace, forbearance, growth, righteousness, all of those things, just like the words forgiveness and kindness, no strings attached, okay? There's no strings attached to humility. If there is, then it's not real humility. If you're acting in a humble way so you can get recognized, that's not real humility. If you're growing, but it's in number only, and you're getting people there by attracting them and suiting their wants and entertaining them, that's their strings attached to that. That's not real growth. Okay. If righteousness is your self-righteousness and you're looking at others and you're getting man's approval, but you're not living according to the scriptures, that isn't it. So this is very important. These are things that we get from living with God. We get from our salvation, because we believe in Jesus Christ, because we're saved. God blesses us, and He indwells us with the Holy Spirit of God. And then, of course, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, there are ways a way to live that only He can help us with. Real humility, unity, grace, forbearance. That word unity, just because you see a group of people all together singing a congregation song does not mean they're in unity. Okay, real unity means there's no envy, there's no strife. They're worshiping in one accord. All things are common. All right, there are no strings attached. There is real love, real forgiveness, real kindness. So the first three chapters of this wonderful book of Ephesians, Paul discusses the wealth of the believer. He talks about our position in Christ in the heavenlies. Now, when you get to chapter 4, he's talking about the believer's walk and how we are to conduct ourselves. We're not to walk by rules and standards. We're to walk by our standing with Christ. We're not to walk with the natural man. We're to put off the carnal man, verse 20 through 22. We're to put on the spiritual man, verse 23 and 24. You can reference Psalm 1 at that. So Paul talks about how we're not to how we're not to walk according to our flesh. You know, he warns us about our conduct with where we, you know, how we should not walk, how we should not talk, how we should not sin, how we should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And to bring all this together and to come to the subject of kindness. So talking about three ways For us to grieve the Holy Spirit of God is with our speech in verse 29, our heart in verse 31, and our attitude and conduct toward one another in verse 32. That those are ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's where it comes to our attitude and our conduct toward each other. Kindness, defined at dictionary.com, I believe, is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. It's talking about affection and favor. I want to quote David Cloud from the Way of Life Encyclopedia. Goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses, and charity. That's David Cloud from the Way of Life Encyclopedia quoting kindness. When you look at this verse, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Matthew chapter number 14, in verse number 14, it talks about how the Lord Jesus, how he had compassion, how he healed their sick. He brought relief to their suffering. See, the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, were very religious, but they were not kind. Their attitude was one of arrogance, condemnation, condescending. This, you look in John 7, when Jesus was at the temple at the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Jewish leaders wanted to arrest Jesus and bring him over to them, but the guards came back. They didn't have Jesus, and they asked why, you know, why didn't you listen? And they said that no man ever spoke like him. And not only was he speaking with the spiritual authority, but you've got to understand something. He was working the miracles, and people were believing in him. And the Jewish leaders, what they would do is they were so arrogant, and they were so proud, and they would dismiss common people as very ignorant. And they put themselves above the common people. And Jesus' attitude to the common people was totally opposite. Instead of dismissing them and looking down on them, his heart went out to them. He was compassion to them. He had kindness to them. He was moved. He healed their sick. He brought relief to them. And as he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor. That is not, there's not an asterisk but beside that verse. You know, you ever have someone who they exaggerate? You know, they say, well, no one ever comes to this. You know, I have this event, no one ever comes. And they got seven people standing behind them. Well, that's different. They don't count. You know, maybe it's their family or whatever, but they're complaining, or nobody ever shows up, or you never ask me how I'm doing, and they're doing that as a way of exaggerating. And maybe you don't show up for something, or maybe you don't, you know, meet their expectations. So as a way of expressing their disappointment or being sarcastic, they say, "Well, oh, no one ever comes to this," and they, when in reality they do. It's just not as many people as they like. Well, that's not what the Lord Jesus says here. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that is literal. Okay, that is a true act of kindness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, that is literal. That is there is no arrogance in that. There is no strings attached to that. No, that is true kindness. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Now, of course, we must believe in him, but that is literal. Okay, that is a true act of kindness. And these Pharisees, they did not have that. The people did not leave feeling better. They did not find rest in the Pharisees because they showed them no kindness, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. So I want to just go over three things with you today about kindness, and talk a little bit about this subject of kindness. You know, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. First of all, there's the covenant that causes kindness. The covenant that causes kindness. Now, I want to use, by way of illustration, I want to use a beautiful story in the Bible that typifies the love and the kindness that God has for us. So, 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 1, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, there's a verse in the Bible that a lot of people will have trouble with and is misquoted sometimes, and it's that verse in 2 Samuel 1 verse 26 where David said that your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, what that is talking about. So the love of women, that is referring to the marriage covenant. So me and my wife have a marriage covenant. Now, if something were to happen to me and I were to go and die and go into eternity, my wife and my marriage covenant would be broken. And my wife could remarry and she would not be sinning one bit. She could remarry someone and start a new life with them, and that would not in no way, shape, or form be an adulterous relationship. Because our marriage vows, you know, for better or for worse, sickness and health, as long as we both shall live. We were making marriage vows, but that covenant, that marriage covenant, can be broken by death. Now, there's another covenant, and is the only covenant that's stronger than the marriage covenant, and that is a blood covenant, okay? So, when I got saved, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I trusted what He did for me on the cross. His blood cleansed all my sin. I was justified, meaning that God rendered me, He declared me righteous. I was washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blood covenant. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for my sins. When God the Father sees me, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and He is well pleased with that. That is a perfect sacrifice. Now, that is what that is referring to. Okay, that is a blood covenant. There's nothing, no one can break that. Okay, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved. I'm justified. I've been declared righteous by God the Father because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. Now, here in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, David is the king of Israel. He's not just the king of Judah. He is the king of Israel. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. And the kingdom is no longer in the house of Saul. Saul was once the king. He had a kingdom, but his kingdom fell. And a lot of kings would have killed his grandson Mephibosheth that David goes to visit here in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. So Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was crippled. And what happened was, they had to evacuate the house of Saul, and the maid had picked him up, the servant had picked him up and dropped him. He was about 5 years old, and she dropped him, and he became lame. And so now Mephibosheth is, for the rest of his life, he is leaning on someone to take care of him. He cannot take care of himself. He's crippled. He's pretty much, in the eyes of man, he's worthless, okay? And David comes to his house. This is a rival family. Mephibosheth at one time was heir to the throne. Now David sits on the throne. So a lot of people would say, okay, this is a rival to your throne. You need to kill this man. But instead, David walks in the house. And what does he say? Is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Now, this is a beautiful picture of what God the Father is willing to do for us because what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. You could re-say this verse as, literally, David is a type of God the Father, Jonathan is a type of Jesus, we are a type of Mephibosheth, Saul is a type of Adam, and the maid that dropped Mephibosheth is a type of Eve, the woman. So
God the Father literally says, is there anyone out of the house of Adam that I can show kindness to for Jesus' sake? Okay, because this blood covenant that was made, there's nothing that can break it. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And this story goes on to tell you that David takes Mephibosheth, a crippled, helpless individual, helpless, can do nothing for himself, and sits him at the king's table. And he is taken care of the rest of his life. He's still crippled, but he's being taken care of. That is exactly what happens when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We are accepting this wonderful, beautiful act of kindness that he gave us. There's this covenant that was made, and no one can break it. So David goes in here, and he makes a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful demonstration of kindness. And he goes into the house of Saul, and instead of killing Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake and for the covenant that was made between them as a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is to come in the scripture, he goes in for Jonathan's sake and asks who he can show kindness to. There's a covenant that causes kindness. Okay, it all goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Then there's a commemoration that confirms kindness. If you look in Matthew chapter 18, 21 through 35, it's talking about the parable of the servant who's he has a Lord who forgives him much. So that 10,000 talents is equivalent, today it would be millions of dollars. But yet this same servant was unwilling to forgive another servant who owed him just a day's wage. So, you know, it just a very short amount, very small amount, rather. So compared to what the first servant was forgiven, so, you know, this is a very small amount. So, excuse me. So the principle here, of course, is a person who is forgiven for much should forgive much. Now, what I'd like you to do, unless you're driving, don't do this if you're driving, but what I'd like you to do is just kind of close your eyes and take a moment and really, really examine your heart and ask God to help you with this. And this may take some time, especially after this. This is a spiritual discipline of trying to figure out, is there someone in your life that you're holding bitterness, you're harboring bitterness against? Is there something that you're upset about, that you've victimized yourself, and you've told this person that you've forgiven them, but maybe you're just holding on to it? Well, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to remember something, okay? God has forgiven us for much. If you are saved, if you have come to the knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there has been a time in your life where you realized you are guilty, okay? You are worthy of dying and going to hell. The Bible is very plain. You will stand before an almighty God, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do. It would be like a person today committing a murder and getting caught, okay? They are guilty. I mean, there are witnesses. There's no way out of it, and they are guilty for multiple crimes. You name it, all the bad ones, and they are just we're guilty of all of them. All right, you break one law, you break them all. So everything you can possibly think of, you are guilty, and your punishment is eternal damnation in hell forever. Okay, and a holy, righteous, almighty God says you're free. That's it. You're free. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has declared you righteous. Because Jesus Christ paid it all. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Just think of that punishment. A life sentence on earth is nothing compared to eternity in hell. I mean, I can't even fathom. It upsets me trying to think about it. You know, can you imagine? I mean, it's just, you know, 100 million billion years is nothing. In eternity, that's not even, you know, it's not even 0.0000001%. I mean, it's nothing. Eternity in hell, that's, and we're guilty. We deserve to go there. But yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want you to think about that individual that you're harboring bitterness against. How can you do it? How can I do it? How can we harbor bitterness? Oh, you don't understand. He cheated on me. Or you don't understand. He said horrible. She said awful things to me. You don't understand. They broke up my family. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I was listening to a sermon being preached. And it was the guy who was preaching it was talking about a missionary woman who her husband was brutally killed and he was murdered. And she was standing there with her husband's killer. And she had her arm around him. And the man that had killed her husband had afterwards gotten saved. And she had her arm around that man. Because she had been forgiven for much. So therefore, she was forgiving much. And it is hard to harbor bitterness in our hearts when we stay at the foot of the cross. When we go to Calvary and look at what Jesus Christ had to go through. You know, in Isaiah, the Bible tells us that they couldn't even recognize him when they brought him out. They beat him so badly. And it's a very humbling thing, friend, when you think about it. Okay, we have been forgiven much. You look at this last verse, and this takes me right into my last point. It's the case that completes kindness. So, number one, you have the covenant that causes kindness. Then you have the commemoration that confirms kindness. But then you have, last of all, the case that completes kindness. And we go right back to our main verse. And look at the last part of that verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And think about the price he had to pay and how we are forgiven of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How wonderful, how great it'll be if even after this podcast, you can just pray and cry out to God and ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to bring to your mind, bring back in remembrance anything that you've done, any wrong that you're doing, and anything, and repent over that and hold him to his word. And then think of those people that have done you wrong, that you've carried things over. Maybe you got bullied as a kid, or maybe you were done wrong. You have a bad situation somewhere in your life. And you can just, through the grace of God, be able to just forgive them. Not wait for them to say they're sorry, but forgive them. The kindness and love in your heart that God has put there, just no strings attached, forgive that person. What a wonderful thing. You know, think about Job. Boy, Job, he got things settled when he prayed for his friends. He really did. So I hope this was a blessing to you. Please reach out to me, email me. I want to hear from you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.